Our national pastime. Yes. The grand old game. There's a lot of euphemisms, but ultimately, you know what Major League Baseball is, Woods? It's a business.
Yeah, it's a business.
It's a business.
It is.
They're in business to, you know, make money. Sell tickets, TV packages, etc. So I am not entirely surprised by a phenomenon that drives you crazy and occasionally even gets under my skin. And that is the relentless pushing of Shohei Ohtani and Dodger narratives through the national MLB media outlets.
Correct.
You know, their Twitter accounts, their Instagram accounts, their TikTok accounts.
That doesn't necessarily bother me as much as the, and I mentioned it earlier in the week, anytime the Padres would sign someone, how can they make this work? This is a terrible move, blah, blah, blah. The water carrying that goes on for an organization that has 14 pitchers on the IL is staggering for me. All you will hear is how smart they are, how well they develop, how well they draft, how well they do this. And, you know, no deep dives are ever done, Ben, on the inconsistencies of the LA Dodgers, ever. You know, I love Jeff Passan. He doesn't do it. Ken Rosenthal's not going to do it. Ken Rosenthal actually had the gall to write a piece yesterday. What is happening? What are you guys doing?
No, I didn't switch the YouTube stream.
We're
over.
Still on the commercial screen, so I just wanted to make sure people could see us talking.
Ken Rosenthal wrote an article yesterday about the awful Washington Nationals and how terrible they are and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like everyone around baseball kind of feels like they're a team on the come that have made some fairly savvy moves by getting rid of Juan Soto, who they weren't going to re-sign, and getting Mackenzie Gore and CJ Abrams and James Wood, who looks like a superstar in this league.
But they're not winning.
But they're on the come, right? They weren't supposed to win.
They were
right
supposed. Yeah, this is probably at the time that they were supposed to start their winning.
Well, I think the arrow is pointing up. But what I'm saying, my overarching theme here isn't it's Nationals bad, Dodgers great. Always, always. And again, it doesn't matter that they sign injury-riddled pitchers and then put them on the IL. It doesn't matter that they've got four teams starting rotations on the IL. Everything they do is so smart. Everything they do is so great. And I think that's the thing where you're like, hey, man, let's get a little bit more fair and balanced here. Because by all accounts, Ben, how many, in your professional opinion, how many World Series should Dave Roberts have on his hands?
Four.
At least. Right? Four. Right? How many does he have? He's got 1.5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's call it what it is. And so I saw this yesterday and I had to laugh because it was nice to know that there is a person on the East Coast that feels the same.
Well, I wondered, if we just noticed it the most because we're on the West Coast and we're rivals with the Dodgers. And if it's just our skin that it gets under, but it isn't. This is filtrated all the way over to New York, and this is Evan Roberts from our sister station, WFAN.
National media that takes turns saying everything about the Dodgers that makes you humanly sick. I'm sick of it. We get it. They're great. They won the World Series. Yippity-doo-dah. Everything is about the Dodgers. The Dodgers, the Dodgers, the Dodgers. So and good. Don't insult us by saying the only reason Citi Field was packed is because they played the Dodgers. It's crap. Sit here and bore you with evidence that it's not true. My anger at the national media that takes turns giving back massages to everybody from Shohei Ohtani to Mookie Betts to the stupid logo on the front of their chest. I hate the Dodgers. I hate them. They are now number one. Congratulations. This has never happened before. You're number one on my hate list. I hate you. I can't stand you. I want you to go down in flames. And Ohtani doesn't even pitch, but he throws batting practice and we freak out. The guy hasn't pitched in a major league game in 2 years. Stop acting like he's a unicorn. Go pitch and then we'll act like he's a unicorn. Go pitch. He hasn't pitched in 2 years, and we got to hear about it constantly. I hate them. And by hate, you know what I mean. Sports hate.
Sports hate them.
It's a real thing. By all accounts, Ohtani, great guy. But yeah, sports hate is absolutely real. Evan Roberts, I'd like to buy you a soft pretzel from a nice cart on down in Manhattan somewhere. I really would. That was really great. It was really great.
It was a good rant. That's
great
a
rant.
Solid New York sports talk radio rant right there. I thought what resonated with me, though, is because I could hear some uninformed national media member going, when the Dodgers come to Petco Park in a few weeks.
All the time.
Oh, look at how crowded it is. Oh, man, they turn out for the Dodgers. No, they turn out for every series,
turn out for, the Marlins,
for every
dude.
Opponent. It's sold out almost every game. It's not because the Dodgers are there. And sure, there will be some Dodgers fans because,
sure. Well,
Petco
there
Park's
is now.
A great experience. And, of course, they want to come down, and you will see some of them at the games.
It's so funny to me.
It's not why Petco Park is sold out. It's not why people are showing up to Citi Field. Mets are really good.
Mets are good.
Won four in a row. They're second place in the NL East. They got a World Series contender. So do the Padres. And they don't need the Dodgers' help to sell tickets.
Correct. And haven't in a while.
Some big... big news in Major League Baseball that's just breaking here in the last 30 minutes or so. The Houston Astros have announced that pitcher Ronel Blanco is going to undergo season-ending elbow surgery and will return, quote, sometime in the 2026 season. So they didn't say Tommy John, but the implication is that it probably is a 12-month type recovery because they didn't say he'll be ready to pitch in time for the 2026 season. He will return sometime in 2026. So that is a huge, huge loss for the Houston Astros. That guy's nasty.
Yeah, he's really, really good. And yeah, big one. I mean, you lose an ace like that. That's tough. Somehow the Astros will have somebody to come up and fill his shoes.
They do a good job of it for sure.
They do. But you never hear about that.
But
in LA.
That just came a social media post from the Astros, just kind of announcing a press release. And it is always the fear of if you're a fan of a contender, the last thing you want to see is major injury news to one of your top pitchers. And right now, as a Padres fan base, you have to be somewhat concerned with Michael King. The Padres are certainly trying to keep everybody sane and calm, and they're not saying anything that would, inflame the rhetoric of, what Michael King is dealing with his scapula injury.
That's for us to do.
But they also
inflame the rhetoric.
They also aren't providing any answers. And, and I don't know that they have any answers. We've got audio. This is what Mike Schilt had to say about the very unusual Michael King scapula injury that landed him on the injured list from before yesterday's game.
I know it's still early with everything with Michael King, but is there any update on him?
There's really not. I know he's going to get, again, we're in a little bit of uncharted territory. This isn't a very common, thing that takes place. Our crack medical team, which are amazing, are working with our team doctors, which are also amazing, and some experts just to figure out exactly what's going on. And, he's getting some incremental improvement. So from what I understand, clearly improvement is important initially and anytime somebody gets injured or hurt, but I think it's especially important with this particular, what he's dealing with. And so that's encouraging more so. But, yeah, we're doing some testing, further testing, getting some really qualified people and experts in the field for this to look at it. And we'll know more hopefully sooner than later, but that's all we know at the moment.
Craig, how long was that soundbite from Mike Schilt? Do you have a running time?
57 seconds.
57 seconds in which he said essentially nothing at all. They don't know anything. They really have no clue as to why Michael King would have an injury there. It's not something that other pitchers have ever really developed. I mean, the going theory, he slept on it funny. And, for one day, that's fine. Okay, we all understand not feeling quite right because we slept on something funny. It starts to stretch. That doesn't seem like that would be an injury that would keep you out for 3 weeks because you slept on something funny. That's a day or so, and then you get back to feeling how you were. So now you assume something else caused it, and sleeping on it may have just alerted you to the problem.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I'm concerned as hell about that. I'll be honest with you. Without Michael King in this rotation, I don't know how far we go. I really don't. You can piece together for a week or two. Most teams are faced with that, you know, multiple times a season. You can piece it together for a couple starts. But if Michael King is hurt long term, Ben, our prospects, you know, the odds have got to come down considerably of being a playoff team or a playoff contender.
It's certainly a concerning issue, but I'll push back
quickly. Captain says, good question to ask the skipper Friday. Yeah, I mean, again, it was just asked. He didn't say anything. I'll absolutely ask him that question.
I do have another, like, a 2 minute
is there more?
Clip here, yeah, also, if you want to.
Yeah, on Michael King?
Yes.
Okay.
Look forward to it, Frank, whenever you play.
Like, what, from your understanding, is what's uncommon?
It's on mute. Shut up.
I mean, it's just more, you know, in the scap area. I mean, you know, it's not overly structural. So we're trying to figure out what's taking place with it. And so to the fact that we're still diagnosing it makes it uncommon.
And is there any understanding of, like, how it came about? Is that
That's
part
scary.
Of it?
I literally slept on it wrong. And woke up, and, I mean, he played catch, threw great, you know, as we do. One of the things we do well, the industry does well, but we do especially well is we create really strong baselines and understanding and are constantly testing and sort of aware of, like, players' flexibility, their strength, you know, now the stuff during the course of games, you know, release heights and, you know, spin rates and what their bullpens look like. And so we track all that extremely well, use it very effectively. So the point I'm getting at is all of us tracking in a very good place for Michael and has been quite candidly since he's been here. And there's been some modifications and some improvement to it that he gets the credit for. But so the day before it was like all systems go, and the next morning wakes up and, you know, he's dealing with what he's dealing with. So.
All right, I'm good with this.
Well.
So we had a 1 minute clip in which he said nothing. We now have a 2 minute clip in which he said nothing. Care to go for a 4 minute clip of Mike Schilt just going on about the systems in place?
That man's doing his job, Ben. That man is doing his job. Period. The end.
They don't know that. You
that's,
know, I,
that's the scary.
I want
part.
To push back on fans though, who think there's a major conspiracy theory.
No, they
place.
Don't know. They have no idea.
There's nothing really to hide. They just don't know the answer here, and you know they're trying to be optimistic. What good does it do to tell us one thing only to then 3 days later, well, it turns out we knew all along that he was out
right.
for the season, but hey, if we could delay that news for 3 days, that's really going to serve us well. It's not. It doesn't matter. I mean, if they knew he was gone, they're going to let us know that he's out. They
yep.
just don't, they just don't know right now what's going on. I did get the sense when he said it's not something structural. So a lot of obviously injuries that pitchers suffer are in ligaments and connective tissue, oftentimes in the elbow, but there's also the labrum in the shoulder, which is a connective tissue. That phrase, you can't strengthen that. Muscles can be strengthened. Those guys are all strong. They work out. You can't strengthen ligaments and tendons and, you know, labrums and stuff. This is not that, though. This is the scapula is a big old muscle over your shoulder. The scap. I don't like when he calls it the scap. Just call it the scapula. That's not something generally, you know, a pitcher would tear or they overuse. And oh, this is very common. You used him too much and now he's got a scap injury. No, this is not something other pitchers have ever dealt with. They've never seen. So they're operating without a manual. And that's what's interesting here. 'Cause all, you know, the doctors and the trainers, they're all going on. Well, okay. We saw 17 other pitchers who had this similar injury. Here's how long it takes to come back
yep.
from. Here's what we do to treat it. We ice, we do whatever, heat, treatment,
nice.
And we can expect to come back at, you know, this amount of time. They don't have a book on this. Like, we don't really know what a scap injury does. Could you be back in 3 days? Maybe. Could you be out 4 months? We don't really know because we don't have a lot of data on what it takes and what causes this injury and how to come back from this injury.
Is it possible they're load managing, which I think would be a very ballsy move?
It is possible.
Which many people think that's what the Dodgers are doing. They're just load managing their pitchers and getting them ready for the playoffs. And I mean, it's not even a risk really for them.
I don't think so because
we can't afford it. We don't have a glut of starters.
Yeah, and also they wouldn't have surprised Sean Reynolds with a start. If they were load managing, they would have told a couple days before, they would have said, Michael King's probably going to go on the IL. It's minor scapula issue, and they would have been called someone up. They wouldn't have put their bullpen in a bad situation. This was unexpected, I think, to the Padres. I believe that it was unexpected.
Michael says scapula is a bone, not a muscle. Is that right?
The scapula is a bone. It's your scapula bone, but I don't think it's a. I think it's a muscular issue with. I mean, what would that be? Your.
I don't know.
Deltoid?
I'm not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor.
I don't
either.
Like even pretending to be one on the radio.
They're certainly referring to it as a muscular injury, even though they're calling it the scap.
How does one pull a bone?
I don't think you can pull a bone. I don't think he has a bone injury. If it was a bone injury, they take an X-ray and they go, "Oh, your bone's broken." Can't otherwise. I don't think that's the only way you can injure a bone is
maybe
by breaking.
Maybe it got hurt in the scuffle. Remember the scuffle in Toronto, the fake scuffle. By the way, that talk in Bossabel made its way into the front office of the Padres. By the way, they were getting asked about the fake fight that happened from a parody account that tweeted it out. It got all the way up to the front office. People were like calling and texting going, hey, was there really a fight? No, it was a parody account. We talked to Josh Stein about it. He told us. He's like, dude, I had to answer so many questions about that fake account on Twitter. I'm like, so did we, my friend. So did we.
AI says the scapula is the bone that connects the humerus, your upper arm, with your clavicle, which is your collarbone. Okay. Why does my scapula hurt? Scapula pain can stem from a variety of causes.
Lay it on me.
Muscle strains, overuse, to more serious issues like bone and joint problems, or even referred pain from other areas. Poor posture.
Ooh.
Michael King have poor posture?
It doesn't seem like it.
I don't know.
Well, listen.
Could be a heart attack.
Potentially.
That would be bad. Have you checked his EKG lately?
I
lung problems.
Man, it's getting more serious by the second. Maybe you should stop fanning the flames here. Hopefully he is back healthy soon. I really enjoy watching Michael King pitch, and I enjoy Michael King as a human. That's where I will leave it.
I don't like
speculating on these.
Yeah, he's the probably player they can least afford to lose
for a major
period of time.
You're not kidding. I just said, if you lose him, I just feel like... I feel like your chances will be severely tested. Severely tested. So hopefully everything comes back fine and he's good to go.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, it is decision day.
Oh, boy.
For one Miles Byrd. Can impact greatly San Diego State's basketball season next year. We'll get to that coming up after a check of traffic. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First... There is no Michael King. He never existed. He was always a figment of our imagination.
Correct.
So stop worrying about Michael King.
We have Kyle Hart.
Yes, and we do have Kyle Hart. The Padres have officially recalled left-handed pitcher Kyle Hart from AAA El Paso and option left-handed pitcher Omar Cruz to El Paso.
Just comes up here to hang out.
He got to warm up yesterday.
He caught the first pitch also. I didn't see that. I saw that. Call you up again. All right, what am I doing, man? Am I going to get in the game? No, you're going to catch the first pitch. Going to need you to go out and collect the spare balls from batting practice as well.
Good for Sean Reynolds and Hannah Nancaro.
Yes.
As Sean Reynolds
gets
to stick around. His handsome face gets to remain in the Padres bullpen for now.
Yep.
All right, so let's talk quickly. Big day for the Aztecs. Today is the day that draft... eligible players who have declared have to make their decision by 11:59 p.m. tonight. Miles Byrd will have to say one way or another. If he's staying in the draft, he will no longer be eligible to return to San Diego State, or he can announce he is going to return to the Aztecs for his junior season next year. Brian Dutcher, I saw some video yesterday. He was talking, I believe, to an alumni group in Mission Valley. Still thinks it's 50-50, one way or the other. Doesn't know exactly which way he was leaning. He said that Miles Byrd was working with the Charlotte Hornets yesterday, private workout. I'm sure he's trying to get some more information. I think they have two picks like in the 30s. which would be like early second round. So if they said, yeah, we're probably going to take you and give you a guaranteed deal, maybe he leans towards the NBA draft. If they think, yeah, we like you, but maybe another year of seasoning might serve you well, then he may end up with the decision to return to San Diego State for next year.
You know, and one thing that Miles Byrd does not lack is confidence.
That's true.
He's one of the most confident players that maybe has ever come through. He's extremely, extremely confident. So, Ben, you can rest assured, whatever decision he makes will be the right one for him. He will be, if he comes back, he will be hair on fire. If he goes to the NBA, he will be hair on fire, trying to get better, trying to improve. I wish him so well. I really like Miles Byrd. I love Miles Byrd. I know that last year offensively wasn't really probably what he imagined for himself. And I know he hit, you know, had an injury, that definitely hampered him, but I love that kid, man. That kid is all heart, and whatever he does, he will be successful at.
We talked about it last week. It's such a different decision now than it used to be 5-10 years ago because of NIL. You know, for a guy who, you know, has a chance to go pro and make whatever money,
yeah,
even
whatever
if it was
it
just, you know, a couple hundred thousand, say, well, that's a couple hundred thousand I would not have been making in college. But all of a sudden, it's not the same equation. With NIL money and a guy, even at San Diego State, a guy like Miles Byrd can make, you know, a few hundred thousand playing college basketball next season. All of a sudden, you know, playing in the G League is not nearly as an attractive option. You know, maybe it gets you to the NBA faster. Maybe it doesn't.
Maybe it doesn't.
Maybe being a star in college gets you to the NBA faster, gets you to a first round pick next year with a guaranteed contract. And, you know, when a team takes you with the first round pick, they feel more of an obligation, like, hey, we got to get this guy up here, and we are investing more in you. It might make more sense now to wait, make some more money in college, and then hope you go in the first round next year rather than, hey, I just want to impress them as a second-round pick, show them how hard I work. But you kind of get sometimes lost and disappear playing in those, you know. Yeah, you can play in Oceanside up at, you know, for the, you know, the San Diego Clippers, which,
sure,
is, which is great. Good competition. That's a high level of basketball. And, you know, you're one injury away from getting called up to the NBA, but you may also just sit there and rot for a couple of years. And you go, man, I could have been playing in front of a packed Viejas Arena with 12,000 fans every night.
Yeah,
making good money.
Making good money doing
it. And instead, I'm playing in front of, you know, a thousand people, you know, up here in Oceanside, not on TV. No one's really watching my games. It's a totally different equation now than it used to be.
East County Chris says Byrd definitely isn't ready. Man, I thought the same thing. And I thought it was insane that you know, I figured he would be coming back. He needed another year. But then all I kept seeing, Ben, were highlight reels of Miles Byrd in the showcases and the tryouts and all that everyone was watching, and he was really played really, really well. And his stock, I mean, you see it in the NFL draft all the time. Players up their stock with their workouts, their combines, whatever. And I think Miles Byrd was one of the guys that did that. And again, the fact that this is even, if you had told us a year ago, you know, he would be 50-50 right now, or 6 months ago, I would have been like, you're crazy. There's no way. He's coming back. And the fact that he's really seemingly worked his tail off to get where he is now, to have that opportunity, is, I think, a testament to who he is as a player and how hard he works.
Yeah, they're, you know, and NBA scouts are less looking for the finished product.
Correct. Well, they're, hey, not. Yeah, they're not looking at
this
his points per
game. This guy put up 24 points per game.
No, yeah, because there's something.
Because he was, you know, mature and he dominated lesser,
yeah,
competition in college. They don't care about that because he's only 6'5". And it's never going to play in the NBA. They'll look at a guy and go, yeah, he's raw and he made a lot of mistakes and, you know, he didn't shoot the ball that well, but
we can fix
look
him.
At his wingspan,
yeah,
and look at his jumping ability, and we can turn him into a great NBA player. They're not looking at the numbers from college. They're looking at the body, the athleticism, and they're projecting what that could be in a couple of years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's got all those things. So, yeah, look, I think selfishly we all want Miles Byrd to come back to San Diego State and see what the kind of a juggernaut this team could be. But
they'll
be
a good team either way.
Yeah, yeah,
but
for sure.
They could potentially be
a great team.
A great team. You know, and they'd still have a lot of work to make themselves great and incorporate the new guys with old guys like Miles Byrd, but why wouldn't you have faith in Brian Dutcher to do that?
Sure.
He does it every single year.
Yep.
He takes new guys,
finds
he incorporates them into a really, really good team. And I promise you, they're a better team with Miles Byrd than they are without.
Agreed.
Yeah, I hear, hey, Reese Waters will get more playing time. He's coming back. They don't need Miles Byrd. They're a better team with Miles Byrd than they would be without him.
Exactly.
So if he comes back, it's good news for San Diego State next year. We've got one more segment left.
Is it the Italian Paul Report?
It is the Italian Paul Report.
Yes.
You're talking about
cheese rolling, and I don't even know what that is, but I'm interested.
Cheese rolling?
Yeah.
It sounds delicious.
Like how you roll loose cannabis? Maybe they're rolling cheese.
I'm thinking of those little baby bells, you know?
Oh, yes. I had one yesterday.
Those are pretty good. That's coming up in our final segment of Ben and Woods. It's next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Tip of the cap to Frank Marchese, who has filled in admirably the past 2 days for Paul Reindel, who continues his vacation in Las Vegas. Paulie will be back on Monday. We'll have Adam Klug in on Thursday and Friday. But Frankie's done a very nice job. Now he's got to finish strong because he's going to end his tenure with some headlines in the Italian Paul Reindel Report. And we'll get to that right after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Reindel Report.
Italian Paul.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Reindel Report with Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
All right. Before you get started, did Kelly Danick say that mud was in the road causing traffic? He's showing YouTube videos of the Blues Brothers to everybody and just slowing down the roadways this morning?
Mud in the streets. Would mud in the streets, not that mud, real mud, would it slow you down?
You've got to be careful when, you know, road conditions are not ideal.
Mud. How did it get there?
I don't know. Was it not? Obviously no rainstorm or anything.
Yeah, I was driving yesterday, by the way, and somebody's entire front end of their car was in the middle of the freeway.
Oops.
Like, the entire license plate and all in the middle. I was like, oh, my God.
Like, you left something behind.
There's always a part of me, and I know I won't, and I know I shouldn't, but there is always a part of me that wants to pull over. Wait for a second, run in and drag it onto the shoulder.
That's
because
how people die.
I know, but somebody's going to hit that thing, and three people are going to die, but I'm not brave enough. I'll admit it right now, and I know that I shouldn't. Our buddy Jim, who was a former highway patrol, he would kill me for even suggesting that, and you listening shouldn't do it either.
Do not.
Don't
ever
do
run
it.
Out into the freeway.
Correct.
Bad news.
That would be a big don't do this.
It's a big don't do this. But we're on the Italian Paul Report.
Yes, we are. So for said Italian Paul Report, I have two football stories before we get to the fun of the cheese rolling.
Boring.
Do you which one would you rather? Would you rather
neither of them actually?
There's nothing else, man. It's been a slow week.
It has been a slow week.
Would you rather the college story first or the NFL story first?
College.
Okay. So the college story.
We actually have a college football team here. So yes.
Unfortunately it has nothing to do with San Diego State. Well, not directly at least. The SEC held their spring meetings this week, and Georgia head coach Kirby Smart said the most important topic discussed was the transfer portal. We spoke on the Braden's Apprentice Show on Friday about the document going around the Power Four conferences looking to band together to set rules and guidelines for themselves with the NIL and the portal. Smart talked about the need for there to be some sort of regulation with the portal and insinuated that the Power Four schools could possibly break away from the NCAA in order to do this. The big quote coming from Smart was, a lot of people don't even know how it's being decided and who is deciding it, speaking of the portal.
What's that look like, Benjamin?
For fans, probably not much difference. So, you know, they all operate under some sort of rules that they either follow or ignore, and then they end up with the same four conferences dominating the playoff at the end of the year anyway.
Sure.
So, you know, a little less hope for the smaller guy like San Diego State of the already small hope that they have. I don't, What's his problem with the portal? I mean, they just take whoever they want in the portal, and right, that's how the portal works for big schools. It's the smaller schools that have the portal problems.
But they want the regulation, and especially around NIL and the kids getting paid, which, by the way, we've completely gone away from the fake moniker of student athlete at this point. But that's what it is. It's the amount of pay the NIL is getting.
So they want to be able to steal players, but they don't want to have to offer them so much to steal them.
That's, no, but they also
they want the best of both worlds.
But they also don't want kids going in the portal every single year.
Yeah, because that gives them leverage to squeeze more NIL money.
Well, there you go.
That's what they want to
hate leverage.
They want to keep their own players. They want to steal other teams' players, and they don't want to pay them as much as they're having to pay them to do both things. I do see Kirby Smart's argument why that would be a very good thing for Georgia and the SEC.
Sure.
Because, you know, then they'd make more money and keep all the good players and steal all the good players.
Right. Right. They don't, right. You don't like when the playing field is leveled, right? You don't. You don't like when
they don't want a level playing field.
They don't want a level playing field.
I mean, they want a level playing field with Alabama.
Correct.
But they don't want a level playing field with non-Power 4 schools.
Correct.
That would be just silly. Right. Why would you play under the same rules when you have way more money than
they
do?
Yes, more opportunity and more money and more resources.
The teams that have the money make the rules.
Correct.
They're going to make rules that benefit themselves.
That's life. That's life, too.
They've also talked about expelling schools that don't sign that document, like Tennessee and Vanderbilt.
They want to get rid of Vanderbilt because they're not bringing in any money to the SEC. Vanderbilt's just this freeloader in the SEC in football. And they're
good
going, like,
team.
Why do we have to pay them 1/16th of our television contract when they're bringing in 1/100th of the attention of a team like Alabama or Georgia or Auburn? So, best result is we just kick them out.
Yeah, boot them.
I mean, if they want to stay in baseball, that's fine. They get a good baseball program,
yeah,
but that doesn't
good.
Bring in any money.
No.
It's football and basketball, and they stink in both of those sports usually.
Well, now we go pro as quickly as that. Terry Bradshaw. Not a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers prolonged pursuit.
Terry Bradshaw, not a fan.
No, he's not a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers' prolonged pursuit of Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
He said earlier this week on 103.7 The Buzz in Arkansas. Quote,
good it's get a for them. A really good get for them.
It's a joke. To me, it is a joke. What are you going to do? Bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? That guy needs to stay in California, go somewhere, and chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
I'm doing that Friday, actually. I leave for Joshua Tree. I can't wait. You have no idea. Spiritual reset.
We've had some Terry Bradshaw discussions.
We've had Terry Bradshaw on the air, haven't we? We've had him on
did
our show.
Did we have him
I think
on?
We have.
Yeah, you know, has the world passed him by a little bit?
He lost his fastball
I think
a little bit.
So. Yeah, that's what teams do. They bring in quarterbacks
for a year.
I mean, this is not...
He's not a big Jacob DeGrom guy.
This is not revolutionary territory. They need someone to play quarterback.
I don't get it, man.
I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan, but I can certainly see how he might help the Steelers
for
1 year if they needed a quarterback and he wants to play. Then there's people who are mad that Aaron Rodgers is not at minicamp right now.
I saw OTAs.
He doesn't sign with them. He doesn't. That's. I mean, probably this is why he hasn't signed, so he doesn't have to go to their OTAs.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Look, if your favorite baseball player could skip spring training entirely,
he would.
Like, there's no question. He'd go for a week, spring training week. If you got like 10-5, they're like, hey man, you get to pick 10-5, and you can come for as long as you need to come to spring training. It's your call. You would see anybody with 10-5 be there 2 weeks. Max.
Whatever they think the minimum is to then not embarrass themselves once the season starts.
Or draw the massive ire of the fan base.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there would be the guy that didn't show up at all. Oh, I do my own training regimen. I do this and that at home, whatever, fine. But if they had their choice, OTAs, voluntary mini camps, no, come on.
All right, so now to the fun stuff. Cooper's Hill... in Gloucester, England, was alive with the smell of cheese once again.
So weird.
The Cooper's Hill Cheese Rolling and Wake event was held yesterday to celebrate the UK's spring bank holiday. The event started way back in 1829, and involves a 7 to 9 pound roll of double Gloucester cheese and rolling it down a hill.
Yep.
A very steep hill. A 26.6 degree steep hill.
Okay.
The design is to catch the cheese before it gets to the bottom of the hill, or to be the first one to the bottom of the hill. Injuries are very common, as you would imagine, and there were some spectacular spills this year.
This is like
of the guys running down the hill.
Running with the bulls, but it's running with the cheese.
Yeah. As Welsh Fryer points out,
Gloucester. My bad. I took a swing.
It's a lot of letters for a less pronunciation.
Gloucester. Good cheese.
Gloucester cheese is tasty. Welsh
is it? Yes.
He also points out he lives very close to the cheese roll.
He was there.
And has been to the cheese roll.
He went when they did it.
So I actually know about the cheese roll because this is a story that I have probably run on Channel 10 half a dozen times over the years. You think the water skis the traditional kicker?
Yeah.
The cheese roll is always the end of the show kicker story once a year. It's great video.
Like today.
Crazy people running down this steep hill chasing after this roll of cheese, and then they all start tumbling and falling all over each other. It's like a bad skiing accident, except there's no skis. Like going down a mountain with no snow and no skis, but having the same kind of crashes down the way. So it's tremendous local TV video for the cheese roll.
So they're running after the cheese. Yes. I think a better way to do this.
They're trying to chase the cheese.
The cheese gets thrown off the hill.
And then they run
down.
And
then everyone runs after.
Right.
And then they're chasing the cheese. I think a better way to do it. You put everybody at the bottom. And you put a buttload of cheese.
Lots of cheese.
Lots of cheeses at them. And then they have to dodge it, but you have to get to the top of the hill. And the cheese keeps coming. And they just more and more, like a dump truck. And you think you've got it licked.
And then another one,
and you're dodging a bunch of cheese rolls. This is more
like when you were on Wipeout. This is what they do.
Talk about it, man. I'll bring it up, dude. God, hate this. I would like that better. Now, watching them flail down the hill is incredible.
People running at full speed down a very steep hill is dangerous, first of all. But it is tremendous video.
Yeah. Welsh Fryer says no one ever catches it. It's the first down the hill 99% of the time. So, honestly, would it behoove you to maybe go a little slower? To be a little more careful
as you
traverse down? You don't need to go full bore running down the hill because you're going to eat it. And like he said, his roommate
did it.
You're going to eat it. He said his roommate did it and broke his wrist doing it, chasing after the cheese. What do you do with the cheese when you get it? Just eat it?
I don't know. I mean, is that the first prize? Is you keep the cheese?
Damn it. I hate you for the Wipeout. There's people that don't know, and now they know. I hate you.
It has to be brought up once every year or so, just to remind everybody about Woods' appearance on the TV program.
Yes, I was
Wipeout. And he got
to the finals. I went the wrong way on the Iron Maiden. I broke my ankle and got a concussion and vomited. Thank you.
They needed to fit. How many minutes did you have? Like 29 minutes?
Yeah, I had all day to finish.
All they had to do was finish and win the $10,000.
Then you wouldn't have even made it close to the finals. Close!
I know.
Damn it. I hate it. Like my great.
You have to let the Iron Maiden carry you up.
I know, and I was going against the Iron Maiden.
Against the flow of traffic on the Iron Maiden.
It makes me want to die when I think about it. I never bring it up. I'm in therapy because of it.
Just got caught up in the moment, that's all.
No, I was. I drank a lot of pre-workout and had been up for like 18 straight hours, and my anxiety, Frank, was spiked. If you had had a watch on me, my heart rate would have been 180. No, I mean, I'm laying up there listening to everybody else go, and all I have to do is finish. I win 50 grand. And you could hear my heart beating. And then they put you down a 200-foot water slide, and then it shoots you out of the middle of nowhere, and you are out of
dark
your mind. Freezing
pool.
Cold water. Dark
pool of water.
Swim to the Iron Maiden and never made
bright
it.
Bright lights flashing all around you.
I got
you.
All the way to the top. And I came all the way down, broke my ankle, hit the water, and they had to yank me out. It was horrible.
Just nobody put that link in the chat. Please
don't.
Please.
You know what? I had to get picked apart at the game last night. I had to get picked apart now. Let me live today. Just let me do me a favor. If you like me even a little bit, just let me live.
Let Woodsy have a day.
If you had won that money, your life might have turned out much differently. And you like how your life has turned out.
I would have burned through that so quick.
It was part of your journey. It was part of your journey. Frank, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week. We will be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. with Adam Klug on the board. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Early game today. Go Padres. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. From all of us here at 97.3 The Fan, so long.